Well, now to the release of the former Australian soldier Robert Langdon from prison in Afghanistan and the woman who was at the centre of dangerous, tireless efforts to get him out. This week, Robert Langdon returned to the embrace of his family in South Australia, having spent 7 years in a Kabul jail. In 2009, Robert Langdon was sentenced to death for the murder of an Afghan colleague, a crime that he maintains was committed in self-defence. Now, his death sentence was commuted to 20 years, but this month he was pardoned by the Afghan president Ashraf Ghani. He's been surviving in a jail where he was the last Western prisoner, and the dangers in that prison are extreme. Over the years, Robert Langdon has had very few visitors, with the exception of Kimberly Motley, an American lawyer who's returned to the US after accompanying him to Australia. Welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations on this outcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very, very happy.
Could you share with us, please, the moment when you told Robert Langdon that he was allowed to leave prison?
Yes, sure. Well, basically, I didn't want to tell Rob before I arrived at the prison. I just spontaneously showed up at Policharki, where Rob was being held, and told him then and there that he was going to be released. Because I wasn't sure whether or not it was going to happen. I certainly didn't want to tell him beforehand, and it did not occur.
Mm. And was he ecstatic or exhausted, if you know, at that point?
I think he was in disbelief, which is understandable. I mean, he's obviously been there for a very long time. This is something that I've been working on his behalf for a long time. And so he was very much in disbelief, very quiet. You know, I think that people expected him to be doing cartwheels and things like that, but that wasn't the case,
no.
Which is understandable. That's not, he's just not that guy.
Did you leave straight away? Did he gather up his things and leave straight away?
Well, actually, when I met him, he was actually in the commander's office. It's interesting because they came to get him from his cell, and it took them a while to get him because he didn't know what they wanted and didn't know why they were taking him to commander's office. So he had some things already packed. It was just surreal.
And I think, in fact, you didn't both leave the country straight away. I think you actually went into hiding for a while, did you not, until all the paperwork was completed?
I mean, in order for him to leave, he needed his passport and he needed a visa, which was going to take a couple of days. So we were very quietly hiding in Kabul because I didn't know how people would react to him being released. So in the interest of security, he just stayed at my place.
Goodness. So how did you finally achieve this pardon from the president? I know you'd been working towards that goal for a while.
Well, I mean, originally, I represented Rob very briefly in 2009 for about a couple weeks, and then I got the case. But then I started re-representing here in 2013. And when I met with the Afghans and obviously talking with the Australian embassy in Kabul, the Afghan government felt that they needed to change the law in order to allow for him to be released, which obviously that's an uphill battle. The law that was actually changed, not necessarily changed, but created, basically says in a nutshell that if Afghanistan has a good relationship with another country, they have the right to release a prisoner to that country. And so thankfully that law went through Parliament. And then once that happened, I was able to submit a pardon application on Rob's behalf to President Ghani, who then approved it. Obviously, I cited the law, and then he approved his release from there. So he was released based on that law, and also President Ghani signing a presidential pardon, which is unheard of.
How did you get it? I mean, I'm just intrigued if you could have cut to the chase of how you managed to pull this off.
Well, I think it was a combination of things. I think, you know, definitely the Australian embassy in Kabul definitely deserves a lot of credit. They definitely were pushing for it as well. I think it was a very well-written pardon application, frankly. You know, and I think the fact that Rob was generally well-behaved while he was incarcerated also helped.
Mm.
And so, thankfully, the president, I don't know, maybe it was a good day. Which is why he signed it, but he signed it, and I'm very happy that he did.
I just want to quote to you Mr. Langdon's Australian lawyer, so you were based in Afghanistan, Stephen Kenny, who I think Australians are very well aware of for his work previously. He said that Mr. Langdon had passed on to officials information he'd heard in jail that Robert had saved a considerable number of lives. So he'd obviously, you know, as a former military officer, a good observer, might that have counted in his favour?
You know, I don't think that did, to be honest, because the Afghan government, I don't think they were aware that Robert was doing that, frankly, because he was passing that information on to other Westerners, and I don't believe that they were necessarily going to the Afghan government saying where the information that they got came from. I think it's just another good thing that Rob was doing while he was in custody.
So let's just go back a teeny bit. He was convicted of murder while he was working as a security contractor, and Langdon says the crime was committed in self-defence. Now, was there a trial process that we would understand as fair?
No, I mean, there was a trial process. I put that in quotes. It was definitely not fair. You know, in Afghanistan, which is similar to Australia, everyone has a right to a fair trial. And a couple of things that are missing with Rob's trials is, A, he did not have legal representation, or what I would consider legal representation. He had an Afghan lawyer that was representing him, if that's what you want to call it. He did not have a translator that was supposed to be provided by the government to explain to him what was happening. So Rob had no idea what was happening in court. He had no idea what his sentence was originally. He was able to speak, but when he's speaking in English to a room full of people that are talking in Dari or Pashto, that's not real helpful. So, you know, I think there were a lot of significant rights that were being violated that Rob did not get to enjoy while he was in Afghanistan, which amounted to him not having a fair trial.
Tell us about the prison itself, Pulachaki Prison. How dangerous is it?
I mean, it's pretty dangerous. It's a prison that's overcrowded, like many prisons around the world. Unfortunately, it's a prison where there's not necessarily a classification system in terms of, you know, everyone is mixed up with everyone. You know, a lot of Western prisons, they have people that are for petty crimes that are with other people that are for petty crimes. Pulachaki is not like that. Obviously, there's a lot of people involved in different terrorist groups that are housed within the prison, and, you know, different of various ages and whatnot.
But he was the only white man there, is that right?
He was from 2013 until now, yeah.
And, I mean, again, the Australian says that he had to padlock his cell in order to keep the constant threats of violence at bay, which sounded pretty awful.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't easy, that's for sure.
So just a little, you said that the consular staff have been critical in supporting him, but in recent years I understand it was too dangerous for them to go out to this pretty remarkable sounding prison, but you did, you kept visiting him.
That's correct, yeah.
How did you persuade them that this was appropriate? Because you're the first, as I understand it, you're the first foreigner to be licensed to practice law in Afghanistan. So, you know, were you to that extent, were they a bit surprised by you and said, yes, come in?
Well, I mean, frankly, they don't have a choice. I mean, I'm legally allowed to visit my client. Rob was my client. I had the proper paperwork that allowed for me to visit him. So they're used to seeing me. I mean, I've represented several foreigners that have been at Pulachaki, and I've been going back and forth there since 2009. In fact, Rob's roommate, who's from South Africa, who's a white man from South Africa, he was the second to last Westerner that was there, Bevan Campbell. And so the Afghans are used to me coming and going. I dress as I choose to dress, you know, and they're used to me. So, but he's my client.
The prison itself, I suppose for a lot of Australians listening, it's described in some places as an incubator for terrorism. And Langdon told the, you know, the Wall Street Journal that the inmates often planned attacks from inside prison. Is that how you felt the place was?
Well, you know, it was hard for me to look at it from that perspective because I was there to obviously visit my clients. Certainly, some of the information that Rob was given to other people can definitely be verified through some of my other clients. So I'm not surprised that that's what was happening.
What would you say it was like for Rob towards the end of his imprisonment? I mean, psychologically and physically, it doesn't sound, the cell itself doesn't sound fun. Sounds like it reeked of sewage and so on.
I mean, it's not so much the prison. I think it's more the psychological issues within the prison of, you know, Rob being the only Westerner that was locked up within Policharki. He obviously didn't have any family that could visit him or that was visiting him for understandable reasons. He was very isolated. We obviously have a very good relationship. So my visits were very heavily relied on by him, which is understandable. There's a lot of highs, a lot more lows, to be honest, within the last year or so. You know, very, very daunting place. You're surrounded by other inmates who are Afghans who do have family members that come and visit them. They do have family members that, you know, bring them food and things like that. And Rob just really had me. So very, I don't know, he's very strong to have gone through that, I think, with where his mind is at right now. Very strong guy.
He must be. Mind you, this will be a very interesting phase for him now, as he's past that immediate crisis and he's back with his family. How do you think he'll manage his transition back to a peaceful society?
I think, you know, it'll take some time. I think Rob is a very strong person. I hope that some of the good things that he has done will come to light. But I think he definitely needs time. You know, I was in Australia for about 30 plus hours. And, you know, I think everyone was very nice, very quick. Sweet, and I hope Australia and Australians, you know, show him the compassion and the love that he deserves and just give him time to heal without sort of being in his face and asking him what was it like and things like that, because that's definitely what he doesn't need. He doesn't need to continue to relive what Afghanistan was like.
So it's really questions about where he heads next. It sounds like this has been a bit of a peak, if I can put it like this, a peak experience for you too, an immensely impressive achievement. You might have to go through something as well, if you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah, maybe. You know, he was I've been very thankful to have Rob as a client. He's a great client. I've had other great clients as well. And, you know, I've always told Rob for the last couple of years, I said, you're my last guy out, you know, that's locked up. I'm not leaving Afghanistan until you leave. So, you know, now I can leave Afghanistan if I choose to.
Will you?
I don't know. I feel like someone else is going to be arrested. It's hard. You know, Afghanistan is a very special place. I do have love for Afghanistan, and I'm very, you know, I love practicing in Afghanistan, but also I love practicing in different countries as well. So I doubt that I'll leave, you know, anytime soon.
Well, Kimberly Motley, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Well done. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kimberly, a U.S. attorney who practices law in the special place of Afghanistan and instrumental with getting Robert Langdon back to Australia after 7 years. What a readjustment he now faces. What a story that is.